Well, it's going to be a hot day today, but the sun is shining. Look who's back, Joe Bartlett. Where have you been?
Well, I've been substituting over there on the morning show. Then I went to Cleveland yesterday. Or if that's all right with you. Well, you ever been to Cleveland?
It's great if you're Drew Carey. Yes, I'm from Michigan. I've been to Cleveland.
Yeah, it's a nice city.
It's okay.
Yeah, well, it's not New York. I know that.
It's not Paris, but it's nice. Got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's right. And that's about all you can
that's
say.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's it. So I don't know what kind of deal he's got. I took like a half a day off last week. He's got like 4 weeks off.
I wish I had 4 weeks. No.
Well, we got lots to get to. We'll get to the Supreme Court. We'll get to HBO's got problems. We'll get to the soccer. This soccer coach.
Oh, it's exciting.
This soccer coach and the all 12 boys have been rescued. They look like they'll all be okay.
That's right.
We'll get to that coming up. So the excitement last night, well, luckily I was out and missed it, but the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh, talk about excitement.
He's not an exciting guy.
Oh, no. Listen to this.
My judicial philosophy is straightforward.
Oh, great. Okay.
So that's why the Democrats are upset, I guess, huh?
They're always upset. They were upset before this happened, a week before Kennedy. Did you see that ABC News ran a promo saying on Nightline tonight, they'll go after this controversial pick and discuss this controversial pick. Nobody had been named yet.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
That's how fake ABC News has become. They had a promo done attacking the nominee before they even knew who it was. Same thing with Colbert. He taped his show at 5:30, attacked the nominee, not even knowing who it was.
Well, it's pretty safe bet. Whoever he nominated was not going to be liked by the Democrats, right?
And why is it a pretty safe bet? Because Trump is the first president to actually stick to campaign promises. During the campaign, he put out a list. He said, here's the judges I'll pick. I will only pick from this list. And so far, he's had two opportunities, and both times that's what he did. He picked from the list.
That's right.
So he met with all of them. They were down to the final four, and he met with all of them over the weekend at Bedminster. They said he was most impressed with Kavanaugh because he was right out of central casting. Trump likes that kind of stuff. He had like a perfect family, like a 1950s sitcom family. He's very into that kind of stuff. And he loved his credentials. You know, he went to wherever the hell he went.
Yale,
this, that, all the right thing. Which, you know, it's surprising. But that often is the case. Guys like Trump, who are not any of those things, respect those things. They love to see that in other people. Especially, a lot of times, the big billionaire, who doesn't have all that stuff, but he's the fighter that built the empire, he likes to hire those kind of guys. So when somebody goes off to Yale, Harvard, this or that, Oxford, this, it just means they're going to be working for one of these guys that went to Hofstra. It's always that way.
Well, he didn't go to Hofstra.
No, but I'm saying a lot of times. In fact, that's the opening scene of Billions.
Oh, that's right. He was from Hofstra.
Remember,
right?
Some analyst is telling us, he goes, where'd you go to school? He goes, Stanford, Yale, Harvard. And you can see he's looking at him like, you know, you're like a third tier employee to me. You're like, but Trump loves that kind of stuff. And the other thing is, guy's got a perfect judicial record. There's no controversy in it. There's a couple other judges he liked, but it was made clear by every expert that this would be the easiest guy to get confirmed. It'd be very, I mean, the Democrats will go nuts and try to block it, but it'd be very tough to come up with any reason to block this. It's a perfect
Well,
record.
They say conservative, or don't think he's conservative enough.
Well, that's because it's a perfect record.
Yeah.
And he's also, they like the fact that he's a real Washington insider. He's been there for a long time, but he's not a swamp kind of guy. He's doesn't have that Washington mentality. Although he's inserted himself into quite a bit of stuff in the history of Washington. He was on the Clinton impeachment thing,
right,
the Ken Starr investigation. Last time he was confirmed as a judge, one of the senators said that to him. He goes, you're kind of like the Zelig of Washington. You've managed to insert yourself into some great historical moments. So, Kavanaugh, you want to hear him again? It's really exciting.
My judicial philosophy is straight.
Yeah, okay. So, but that's what they, you know, hey, you know, if you want to be like one of those 50s sitcom fathers, if you want to be like Ward Cleaver, that's how you got to talk.
Well, you got to be boring if you want to be on the Supreme Court, right?
Boring, drab life. And he was so touching when he got up and he talked about how he coaches soccer practice.
Yeah, right.
Who cares? And how his young daughter, how she loves to read.
Oh, boy.
And luckily, I was out. I didn't watch any of this till later. Can you imagine staying home for that? But the president introduced him in the East Room.
It is my honor and privilege to announce that I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
Well, the only thing interesting about him is his name is Brett. That's kind of a cool name for such a drab guy. But and then, of course, now here's the important thing. The Democrats, they love this. Don't think they hate this guy. They're so thrilled this guy got nominated. Schumer, Blumenthal, the two biggest phonies ever. They love this nomination. Love it because it gives them an excuse to run around on TV all day. They don't have to do any work. They can just go on TV all day. They will be in 30 makeup rooms today. They will be sitting in green rooms, eating the free buffet. They will be on so many shows. And you know what they're going to be saying? This talking point, how long have they been doing this talking point? 45 years? Roe v. Wade will be overturned at any moment. This is 45 years they've been saying this. Roe v. Wade is not going anywhere. It's never going anywhere, which is fine. It shouldn't go anywhere. It's not going anyplace. This talking point is so old, the talking point could be on the Supreme Court. It's 45 now. It's such an old point.
Well, they claim that women's rights are going to be rolled back.
Yeah, they've been reading this script for 45 years. Remember when Bork was up for nomination? Remember that famous,
all those guys, yeah.
That famous Ted Kennedy speech? This means backroom abortions once again.
That's what they're saying now.
Yeah, 45 years of this talking point. Let's see, who do we have here? Kirsten Gillibrand.
What is at stake is women's freedom. Our freedom to make our own decisions.
That's right. You women, you'll all be in jail within weeks once this guy gets the nomination. Your freedom is gone. Here's the thug Cuomo.
You don't need a New York Roe v. Wade because you have a federal decision of Roe v. Wade. Well, now you may not have a federal Roe v. Wade.
What is he saying?
Are we ready to fight back? Are we ready to fight back?
They love this. If tomorrow they came in and showed the governor a poll, you could actually have a better chance of winning if you wanted to overthrow Roe v. Wade. He would be out there trying to overthrow it so fast. He doesn't care anything. He's just looking at polls.
Mark my words, they are moving to roll back Roe v. Wade. That is going to be the next move by this president.
45 years they've been saying this, the same talking point. His father, when his father used to say it, it was a 25-year-old talking point.
But see now, but the president did say on the campaign trail that he wanted to appoint judges that would roll back Roe v. Wade. I think that's what's got them all worked up.
But he's actually pro-choice, always has been, always will be. Doesn't really care about this. It's just
had to say that.
It's, they all say that. Yeah, Bush was pro-choice. Reagan, I hate to say it, was pro-choice. California, nobody passed more liberal abortion laws than Ronald Reagan. But you want the nomination, that's what you do.
Okay.
Remember when at the last minute Reagan had to pick George H.W. Bush to be his vice president?
Mm-hmm.
He has been very pro-choice publicly, H.W. Bush. So they actually said to him when they told him they were going to give him the nomination, you got 2 weeks to become anti-abortion. Figure out how to do it. And he did. Yeah. So, but this is great for Cuomo. He'll get to run around. This will help him.
No insurance company can deny it. No bureaucracy can deny it. And no federal agency can deny it.
He really is the world's worst speaker, isn't he? He's got that weird accent.
Mark my words, they are moving to roll back Roe v. Wade. That is going to be the next.
I'll tell you one thing, a nice guy, Cuomo, but don't ever mark his words. Just these, it's like Schumer. They're just reading these pieces of paper they were handed. Blumenthal, Schumer. Can you think of anybody more insincere? Oh, yeah, Terry McAuliffe. He was all over TV this morning talking about this. So this will go on. I don't know how long will this go on. You think months, weeks?
No, it can't go on months. I mean, they want to get well, the Democrats would like it to go on for months.
Yeah.
They want to vote by October.
Here's the problem. Normally, Republicans control the Senate. They could do it. They're on a razor-thin margin right now. It's like 51-49, and McCain is so ill that he probably won't be able to vote. That's 50-49.
That's right.
So that means you can't lose a single senator. You'd have to get all 50 Republicans. They're worried about, you know, there's a couple.
Susan Collins of Maine.
Yeah, and the one from Alaska.
Mikowski.
Mikowski. So there's like two borderlines they got to worry about. And then the other thing on the Democratic side, you'll figure, well, all the Democrats will vote against this. Not necessarily. There's maybe two Democrats who are very vulnerable in November in their election, and their districts are very pro-life. So I don't know what they're going to do. Some people think if Schumer was really a good guy and wanted to help them, he'd release them from having to vote against this guy. But so it's razor-thin margins. It's going to be tough. Now, they'll get it done because you can always get the votes. You can get all 50 votes from the Republicans anytime you want. You do have to give out a lot of stuff. You'll have to give a few bridges to nowhere, lots of federal grants, lots of money for... Yeah, that's how they do it. They just,
that's true. That's true.
A lot of times when you hear these Republicans say, well, I don't know if I'm going to vote. I may not vote for this guy. It's because they want to get some stuff. They want to get bought off. So... that'll happen. They don't know about McCain at this point. They don't think he's well enough to come vote.
That's right.
But you never know.
You know, he'd double-cross him anyway, wouldn't he?
Yeah, not on this, though.
You don't think so?
Yeah, because this is not really this is double-crossing the Republicans. This you can't fool around with if you're a Republican. But you do want to get bought off first, so you can get some prize money on this one. The president, does he leave today?
He's already left.
Yeah. He leaves for the NATO summit. You know, he said our allies in NATO, they're not paying their fair share. We pay all the money. They don't kick in enough. And all hell broke loose. How could he insult our allies? How could he do that? He's destroying the goodwill we've built up. If you check my Twitter, you'll notice the 2016 speech of Barack Obama saying our allies don't pay enough. They don't pay their fair share. The same exact speech. Nobody thought anything.
He said it nicer, though.
Yeah, he said it exactly the same way. You're supposed to pay 2% of your GDP. We pay like 4%. The other countries pay like half of 1%. And Obama pointed it out. But it was typical Obama. Made a great speech and then never did anything about it. In the case of Trump, that's why they're all upset. He'll actually try to collect the money. Unlike Obama, he won't make the speech and go back to sleep. Then from NATO, he goes to meet with Putin. They're debating in the White House now whether he should actually meet with Putin alone. That's normally what would happen. Putin and Trump would sit down and talk alone. They're debating the optics of that. Would it be better if he did it with a group or meet with him alone?
Why couldn't he meet alone?
Because this fake
Russian collusion,
fake Russia investigation and all of that. Hey, that's another thing about the Supreme Court justice. They keep saying MSNBC is their big talking point. He's picking a judge who'll, you know, rule in his favor in a criminal matter. If he's ever brought up on charges, can the president be charged in a crime? This judge will rule against that, all this kind of stuff. Well, let's point out, the president is not currently under investigation for anything. He's not currently accused of any crime anywhere. I know that if you watch TV, there's this fake Russia collusion. Mueller is not investigating anything to do with Trump. Trump's not the target of any investigation at this point. And we're well into the Mueller thing. If it was ever going to get to Trump, it would have gotten there already. But they're really cracking down there on Michael Cohen's taxicab business from 8 years ago. And they really got stuff on Manafort's consulting in Yugoslavia 20 years ago. But there's nothing in the investigation, nothing that approaches anything having anything to do with Trump. So
he should meet alone.
Yeah, I think so.
Just to do it.
Yeah, well, that's the best way. You know, that's one reason he did so well.
Did you hear what he said today? He said meeting with Putin is going to be the easiest of all the meetings you're going to have during this trip.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, let's say you had to have dinner with somebody. Who would you pick, Putin or Angela Merkel? Merkel, like a nasty old high school principal, stern.
Yeah, Putin's liable to poison you, though.
Well, that's true. Don't eat the sushi. that's true. You'd have to bring your own food. Let's see. We'll get to the when we come back. We'll get to the caves. And do you know? I've been trying to figure this out. Who was this soccer coach, and what would make him lead these boys into these caves? I could understand if you went to the caves and let's go in about 50 feet or 100 feet in the caves and see what it looks like. Why would you go 3 miles into these caves?
I think they didn't intend to go in 3 miles. I think when they got in and then they got flooded, they had to keep going until they found some dry area. That's my guess.
If you were the parent,
yeah,
wouldn't you want the death penalty for this soccer
well,
coach?
Well, look, he did keep them alive.
I know. They keep saying this. Oh, he's a hero. He kept them alive. You remember the Honeymooners where Ralph says to Norton, when you got hit with that bat, who took you to the hospital? Who stayed by your bedside? Who helped you get better? And he goes, you. And he goes, but who hit me with the bat? It was you. So
yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to this guy.
Well, you know, for your kid's coach took him on a field trip. Where are you going? We're going to the most dangerous cave in the world. We're going to go in about 3.5 miles the day before a monsoon starts. So,
yeah, not a good decision.
What the hell was this guy thinking? When he comes out, he is out, I guess. They must have got
yeah,
the coach.
Yeah, he's out, yeah.
All right, they're all in the hospital. They say they'll be there 7 days. They, you know, they went without food for like a week and a half. No food, and the immune system totally compromised. So they have to stay in the hospital for at least a week to get healthy again. And when he's released, who do you think will be chasing him? 60 Minutes?
Everybody's going to be chasing
everybody
him.
Everybody will want that interview. All those guys are gone that were good at doing that, chasing the guy down. Mike Wallace and Barbara Walters, and they're all gone. But somebody will get that.
Well, they pay enough. That guy will talk.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about the laws there, but in this country, can you imagine the lawsuits this guy would be facing right now? Spend the rest of his life in court. Anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get to Harvey Weinstein. We'll get to. I saw Charlie Rose last night. We'll get to that.
He's still eating alone?
No, he appeared to be on a date.
Whoa!
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up. Check out the webpage. There's some good stuff up there. Hey, watch this man on the street. They stop people and they ask him about the president's choice for the Supreme Court. Watch all these people badmouth the nominee. This was recorded yesterday morning before. Watch these students argue what's wrong with the nominee, not realizing he hasn't even been chosen yet. And then, watch this. Have you ever seen Maxine Waters' district?
Oh, yeah, I saw those.
Take a look at this video of what her district looks like. See what results she's gotten for them. It's pretty interesting. And watch, this is a great montage put together. This is MSNBC. Watch when Trump announces he's running. It's all of them laughing and laughing and laughing at how silly that is. And then it cuts together with election night when they're all crying. They go from laughing to crying when he wins. It's a great video. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com. Then go over to the Mark Simone page. Or you can just go to 710WOR.com/Mark.
He's always a headline ahead.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
710 WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. 800-321-0710. So they got all the kids out of the cave. They're all in the hospital. They'll be there for at least a week. They, when they got into the final spot where these kids were in the cave, they looked to see who was the weakest from not eating, from being dehydrated, from being there. So they would take the weakest out first. That's how they chose the order in which to bring them out. These divers, when they got there, they would take two divers to bring each kid out, one behind him, one in front of him. They'd be tethered to him. They would hold his oxygen for him. They would, the two divers would bring each kid out one by one. It took 3 hours of swimming in that water. Imagine you can't see anything, obviously. It's all dark and black. And they would swim each kid out for 3 hours to get to the dry part. And then from the dry part, they still had like an hour walk out of that cave. So imagine doing that 12 times. You know, everybody heard Elon Musk helped out, and we were wondering what the hell would Elon Musk do. He does have that tunnel company, you know, which I think is all some sort of scam of his. Nobody's going to really get in the tunnel and go underground to Los Angeles. But apparently he has tunnel equipment. He has mini submarines that he uses. He lent them the mini submarines.
That's cool.
I guess, but would you trust anything from Elon Musk? I don't think so.
Tesla works okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a beautiful car from the outside. You ever see the inside? The worst interior, but a beautiful outside. I guess he's trying to help. He's trying to help. But he always, anything for publicity. Remember he put a car in the rocket to shoot it around?
That's
that
right,
plane?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it sounded crazy. Why would you spend $800 million for that? And then people pointed out, because you get like $1.2 billion worth of publicity out of it. And he's just smart that way. So, Harvey Weinstein, was charged again. He's facing life in prison. Each of these charges carries like 5 years to 25 years. And he's like, what, he's got like six charges now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was allowed out on bail because they already have his passport. He's already, from the previous things, wearing an ankle bracelet. And he's got a real problem. I mean, you try to beat the case, but try to beat six of them? The odds That's are not true, in your yeah. favor. So anyway, last night I see Charlie Rose come in to a restaurant, and he looked very thin, but he stopped drinking. That was the reason. He lost a lot of weight. And then he often eats alone, but there he was eating alone. And then a woman comes and joins him.
Yeah, was she safe? I mean...
Well, it looked like a date of some kind. Yeah, there were a lot of
people. She hasn't been reading the papers, apparently.
I don't know. There were a lot of people in the restaurant. We were deciding who should walk over and poke her and say, what are you, crazy? Get up! What's wrong with you? No, he's trying. He's trying. But he did not look well. He didn't look well.
I mean, these people don't go away, even despite what they're charged with. I mean, they have to eat.
Yeah, that's true. Him, Matt Lauer, all these guys, and you wonder, what do they do all day?
Yeah.
Well, Matt Lauer's different. He's like a younger, more active guy, loves to play golf, all that kind of stuff. Charlie Rose does not look like a guy who ever plays golf or ever goes out in sunlight or any of that, so I don't know what he does all day.
He sits around and reads and then, you know, has
How much
dinner?
Can you read? I think he's on the phone all day, like trying to line up something, figure out something. Roseanne, what do you think she does all day? I'm sure she's on the phone all day trying to engineer some kind of comeback or something. Hey, when we come back, Steve Moore will be with us. He's the smartest economist in the world. Him and Larry Kudlow, Art Laffer, they were the guys that put together the Trump tax plan. But, you know, jobs, record unemployment, lowest unemployment in 50 years. Now, there's new statistics about wages are finally going up. But we'll get to all of that coming up in a moment on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett. Well, we'll talk to Steve Moore in just a second. Economy looking very good. I mean, obviously, you remember Paul Krugman, that crazy, nutty New York Times economist? You remember when President Trump was elected and he wrote that column about how the stock market will plunge, unemployment will be bigger than ever, it'll be a disaster? Well, just the opposite has happened. Krugman always wrong about everything. A lot of people use him as a reverse barometer. But instead, you got the stock market, all-time highs. You got unemployment, all-time lows. One of the guys responsible, Stephen Moore. He, Larry Kudlow, Art Laffer, the president's great economic advisors. Also, get Steve Moore's books, excellent books. Follow him on Twitter. Watch him on CNN. And Steve Moore, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. And now... I see this new statistic coming out. Wages up 2.5% month by month. Fastest increase we've had in a while.
You know, and it's not by accident. You know, when we passed that tax cut, as you know, Larry Kudlow, I work with Larry to put this plan together, and it was always designed to help middle-class workers. You know, the left had it all figured wrong. They kept saying this is a big tax cut for rich people, but we ultimately wanted business to invest more so that and create a tighter labor market so that the employers would have to pay workers more, and that's exactly what's happening. You know, we had 600,000 new workers enter the workforce last month, which is gigantic. And that's been the problem, you know, is so many people have been on the sideline and now they're entering the workforce because there are a lot of good jobs out there. So it's not just more jobs. And you're right. It's not just the lower unemployment rate that's great. It's also the fact that we now have wages rising. And that, by the way, that impels even more people to come into the workforce. So, and by the way, I got to tell you this story, Mark, is you probably know I'm from the great state of Illinois. I grew up in the Chicago area. In downstate Illinois, this story didn't get much attention. They're reopening a steel plant in Illinois because business is so good, and they're putting 1,200 more steel workers back into their jobs. So it's just a great story of what's going on with the American economy.
Oh, it's great. But now the Democrats, of course, dragged out this talking point that all the companies did is use the money to buy their stock back. And, of course, somebody had to point out to them, only about 8% of American companies actually have stock. 92% are small businesses.
Well, that's a great point, Mark. But not only that, look, number one is when the companies buy their stock, what they're doing is giving the money to the shareholders so the shareholders can invest in new companies. And that's where the economy is really booming, is the entrepreneurial economy. You know, we didn't see a lot of new business startups under Obama. It was just, it was difficult to build a new business. There were all sorts of regulatory restraints, tax restraints. Now you see, you know, people just starting businesses all over the place. I mean, I talk to people, I'm setting out my own shingle, I'm going to start my own business. That's the nerve center of the American economy is when people start businesses, because you need businesses, you know, to have jobs. I mean, that's such an obvious point. But the other statistic I love is 93% of manufacturers, Mark, 93% are now bullish on the economy and are going to expand their operations in the 12 months ahead. I mean, that's a total reversal from where we were, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, also another point, anytime a company buys back their stock, it means they have are really given a vote of confidence to the economy. They think it's going up. Otherwise, they wouldn't be buying stock if they didn't think it was going up.
Yeah. And look, you know, there are 100 million Americans who own stock. I mean, the idea that only rich people benefit when the stock market goes up is just, it's ridiculous. We're a nation of capitalists, and we need to get 200 million people into the stock market, you know, eventually. So when the tide rises, everybody benefits. But look, the capital investment numbers are really good right now. I mean, some of the money went to stock buybacks, but a lot of it went to building new plants, purchasing new machinery, more computers, more technology, which helps workers too. I mean, look, this is the best job market we've had since the Reagan years.
Yeah. Now, Steve Moore, what about, this is the one that scares everybody, these tariffs, trade war, where's that all going to go?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew, because it's like the third. It's like in the third inning of a baseball game. You're asking me how the game's going to turn out. Look, I think Trump is right to get tough with China. I do, as you know, Mark. I said this on your show. I do not agree with the steel and auto tariffs. I think they are counterproductive, and I don't think they're actually saving jobs. They may actually end up, costing more jobs than they lose. But you know, when it comes to China, there's a lot of cheating going on by China. There's a lot of stealing. They have closed their markets to American companies, and we've opened up our markets to them. So I like the idea of getting tough with China, but I just don't see the point, Mark, picking a fight now with Germany and with France and with Canada and some of our allies, because we need them on our side. If we're going to stand toe-to-toe with China and Beijing, which we must do. And I am confident, by the way, that Trump is going to win this fight. I think Trump is not going to back down. I think China is going to have to. By the way, our stock market's doing really well in the last couple of months. Did you see China's stock market has been declining?
Yeah, you know, we always live in fear of China, but in a trade war, they're the ones that are really got to worry.
Exactly. You know, Trump understands that, by the way, Mark, that, you know, look, we both understand, everyone understands, you know, trade between China and the United States is a good thing. You know, we get a lot of cheap goods from them they get jobs. But when it's not a level playing field, that's a problem. But if we can't trade with China, you know, that may mean when you go to Walmart, you may have to pay a little bit more for stuff. If China can't trade with us, their economy goes into a recession.
Yeah, their entire economy depends on exporting. So
I agree with that. Yep.
Now, as far as NATO, he's right. They don't pay their fair share. Everybody's supposed to pay 2% of GDP, and the other countries don't do it. Obama made a big stink about it, although never tried to collect. So isn't the president right to actually try to collect this money for once?
I love what Trump is doing in Europe and saying, look, you know, we've been defending you for 75 years. You know, and we're part of the NATO alliance. It's in all our interest. But this idea that the United States should keep paying, you know, a big share of our GDP to defend Europe. I mean, they're big boys now. I think Germany is in the post-war, World War II era right now. And the idea that we have to pay more and more to defend Germany and France and Italy and Spain. I mean, we should be part of the partnership, but they have to live up to their obligations, and they haven't. And my question, Mark, is why didn't other presidents? Why didn't Bush do something about this? Why didn't Clinton do something about it? Why didn't Obama? You're right. Obama talked about it, but he never did anything about it. And this is what Trump meant, by the way, Mark, when he used to say on the campaign trail, remember, the rest of the world is laughing behind our back, because we're like the rich uncle that they keep thinking they can just reach into our pocket and take money from. And the jig is up on that.
Yeah, that's the problem with Trump. He's from the private sector. He doesn't realize it's government. Just make a speech. That's it. You're done.
Look, this is a guy who does not back down. I was at a rally last night in Florida, some of the Trump voters in Florida, and they love Trump. And one of the things they love about Trump is that he does not, he means what he says, and he says what he means. And he follows through. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't back down. This is a guy who knows the art of the deal. And that's why on the trade stuff, you know, I think in the end of the day, I'm going to make a prediction on your show, Mark, that I think in the end of the day, and I don't know how long this is going to take, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, I think Trump is going to prevail here. I think China's already showing some signs of cracking, and so is Germany now. It's saying, well, okay, we'll reduce our, you know, our tariffs on your autos. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Hey, Steve Moore wrote one of the great books, Fueling Freedom. And as far as energy and all that, where are we right now? We're in pretty good shape energy-wise.
You better believe it, Mark. I mean, the Wall Street Journal 2 weeks ago, headline, United States now surpasses Saudi Arabia in oil and gas production. And by the way, my new book out, Mark, which will be out in September, that I wrote with Art Laffer, is called Trumponomics: How Trump Turned Around the American Economy. And we'll have to talk about that when the book comes out.
Well, definitely. You can probably pre-order it, right, on Amazon?
You better believe it. We're going to make it a bestseller, my friend. No, it's all about how you know, we work with Trump and how he makes his economic decisions. And you know, what Trumponomics is all about, in my opinion, Mark, is Trump is focused on growth, growing the economy, because as Larry Kudlow says, when you grow an economy, you create a rising tide, it lifts all boats, and that's what Trump is all about.
Yeah. Well, Steve Moore, great talking to you. Where's the best place for people to go read you? Wall Street Journal?
Heritage.org, my latest piece, people like it. It's called The Zero Tariff Option. You know, let's do the Larry Kudlow and Trump idea of just all the countries cut their tariffs to zero.
Well, that's the goal. Hopefully we'll get there. So read Steve Moore's piece, Heritage. Follow him on Twitter. And Steve Moore, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great week.
Take care. And everybody check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. Watch, this is a very funny man on the street. They stopped students and asked him about Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court. And they all talked about what was wrong with him, how terrible he... This was done long before he picked the nominee. They didn't realize there was no nominee yet, but they still were able to badmouth him and with very specific stuff, too. And watch this. Maxine Waters. Do you ever see what her district looks like? Take a look at what she's done for her district. Pretty funny video. And then watch this collage of stuff. This is MSNBC. Watch the difference. It's when Trump decides to run. It's all the famous MSNBC talking heads laughing at him running. Cut together with when he wins election night. Watch them all crying. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com. Then go over to the Mark Simone page. Or you can just go to 710WOR.com/Mark.